Well, what a tremendous service it was last week, and the bring and share meal afterwards to bless Peter and Cheryl on their way to Bristol. But it leaves us with a question, doesn't it? Where are we now? Where are we at now? Where do we go from here into this new chapter? And I guess some will be hoping that, well, at least we can hang on to what we've got. While others will see this as a time to explore new possibilities, new horizons. And there'll be many who are somewhere in between. But the real questions to ask are, where does God want to lead us? And are we willing to go there? So as we discern the answers, and will do over the next weeks and months, answers to these questions as a church together, I just thought it would be good to start this morning from a moment of reflection, of, if you like, taking spiritual stock, because it's crucial in a way to moving forward into what comes next. Where are we now? Well, we are a people who proclaim publicly that we have a passion for God, a love for people, and a heart for mission. It's there in the foyer every time we come in. There's no excuse for not knowing those three, at least. It's what we declare loudly and clearly. It's what we declare on our website. It's what's on the end of emails, all sorts of things. So I was just briefly going to visit these three and ask each time, does our church as a community reflect each of these? And do each one of us personally reflect these in our words and our lifestyle? Do others look at me, look at you, and see a passion for God, a love for people, and a heart for mission? And I want us to challenge ourselves with that thought for each of the things that I'm going to look at today, and just to assess where we are. I often think, as I watch the football fans interviewed before a match or afterwards, especially if they've won, this is visible passion. Come rain or shine, snow or sun, bus strikes, rail strikes, whatever they are, bubbling over with excitement, longing, anticipation, expectations of victory, and total trust in their team. It kind of sums up passion, doesn't it? Do we look as visibly passionate for God as they do for their football team? Do we come to church, come hell or high water? Do we come excited, longing to be with our Divine Father, longing to be with each other? Do we come with expectations? Do we long for times of fellowship or prayer in church or in home groups during the week? How would we rate our personal passion for God? He knows, and he notices. One of the most sad but challenging verses for me in the Bible is from Revelation 3:14. The words are addressed to a church community in Laodicea. It's one of the letters to the churches that begin that book. And they read as follows. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Those are horrifying, terrifying words. But we do need to attend to our passion for God. And what about heart for people? No one who is a believer can live in isolation. God set us in community, didn't he, from the very beginning, to be there for each other. He created Eve as a companion for Adam because it was not good for Adam to be on his own, a solitary figure. We're created for community. And I suspect everybody here has a heart for people. We live with the awareness of the needs of those around us, our friends, our neighbours, our family, the needs of the world, near or far. And I'm sure we all respond as we are able to. But maybe as we go into this time of interregnum, we need to be especially aware of each other within our church community. In the service last week, Joe prayed quite specifically for this, that nobody in the fellowship should slip through a crack unnoticed. We need to care for each other and not allow anybody in any bit of Cornerstone, whether ministry team, elders, leadership teams, volunteers, members, non-members, Sunday attenders. We need to allow nobody to disappear without our concern, to be burdened or challenged beyond their capacity, to be allowed to struggle without the offer of help and support. We need to focus on each other, protect each other, pray for each other, support each other. It's time to refocus and take stock on our heart for people. And especially at the moment, because we tend to think of others outside, but for those within this fellowship. And then there's heart for mission. And that surely is an everyday challenge for every one of us. Each new day is an opportunity to look for moments when we can share Jesus by word and deed, and ongoing prayer for those who would love to find him but haven't found him yet. Each one of us has a mission field entrusted to us by God, unique to us because of who he made us, how he made us to be, where we find ourselves living, what our own opportunities are. We're all called to share the gospel. Theologically, we call it the priesthood of all believers. And that's what we are. And God has already designed us and equipped us to do that. He knew and he planned our potential from the beginning. We just have to discern it and be willing to go there. Remember Psalm 139, these wonderful words. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Just think about that. Take it in. That's for you and me personally, individually, seriously. What does it mean for each of us to be made by God our Father, formed and equipped by God our Father? Our lifespan set by God our Father. And what is our Father's will? That all shall come to know him, to have that chance to know him, and all be saved through his only plan of salvation, which was Jesus Christ our Lord, his Son. And how can that happen? How can that come to be? What is his plan of action? Well, it's us. With his help, his guidance, the Holy Spirit. We're all unique, as I've said, we're all different. Unique in how we share Jesus appropriately in our own mission field. And whether he's equipped us with 5 talents, 2 talents, or 1 talent, each according to his ability, says the Bible in parable in Matthew 25. Our Father looks for 100% return on what is entrusted to us. In commercial terms, let's estimate our percentage return on how we've used what he's given us to share Jesus with others. And don't mistake me. I'm not asking how many souls have you saved, because it's not us who does the saving, but the Holy Spirit. But it's how well and faithfully we have, in obedience, followed the prompting of the Spirit to speak of Jesus, however that looks. And don't be afraid of feeling that, well, I made a pig's ear of it last time, I daren't do it again. Forget that, put that on one side. God promised to give us the words he needs us to say. God will sort out in the minds of the receiver what they needed to hear. No matter what you thought about how you expressed yourself or how inadequate you felt, all we are doing is being obedient and sowing so that another can reap in the Holy Spirit's timing. Heart for mission, in thought, word, and deed as individuals and as a church, will go on through and beyond an interregnum. Because he is our loving Father, he relies on us being willing to fulfill the potential he gave us. And just at this time of stock-taking, let's go on assessing in our own hearts. I won't ask anybody to raise a hand to think whether they've got this one right or got it wrong or are inadequate. But let's just go through the other values that underpinned these three main statements that we've looked at. There should be faithfulness in prayer, both personal and private, and the prayer opportunities together, because there's something special about praying together. Because it brings us closer to discerning the will of God as we listen to each other. Praying helps us to be more aware of each other's needs on a personal level as well, and the needs of the fellowship at large. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, said Jesus, there I am in the midst. Look at the notice sheet, whether you've got it personally or got it on a hard copy. Times of praying, 8 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday in the church Zoom room, every Tuesday. On the third Sunday of the month in the prayer room at 7 to 8 o'clock in the evening. Here at Headingley, there are also other possibilities listed at Crag. And we would be welcome to turn up to any of these in any setting. Following Jesus is another of the values, and again we need to dwell on that and what really following him really means. Because it means being different, countercultural, sacrificial, ready to explain to others who might be curious as to why we act as we do or why we made a particular choice. And to follow Jesus, we need to know what it is he taught us. And when I say no, not just mean vaguely something we remember in a sermon a few years ago or even last week, or something that we think is in the Bible, and that would suit us very well if it was in the Bible, but we really need to know what we are reading and understand it directly from his word. And if anyone hasn't got a Bible, please come and see me afterwards. And that leads to another cornerstone value, which is word and spirit, which Peter mentioned last week. People ask, how do you hear God speaking to you? And many are very unsure that they've ever heard God talking to them personally. Well, one of the ways is through reading his word. God talks to you through what he's written. He explains things. He gives you answers to questions that you may have been asking for a long time but hadn't known that the answer was actually in the Bible. He might even be telling you off. He might be challenging you. He might surprise you. Have you ever read a passage in the Bible 1,000 times before and you discover a verse in the middle of it that wasn't there the last 999 times you read that passage? Well, why did you need to notice it on the 1,000th time through? That's God saying something to you. Something's become relevant. You need that verse. Take time to think about it. That's the Spirit doing his work, opening up the word so that you have knowledge of what Jesus has written and what's in the scripture as a whole. The other three values are engaging in mission, and we've looked at that, we've touched on that, but that does involve embracing adventure sometimes, stepping up and stepping out of comfort zones, of what we usually do and how we've always done it. Personal challenges, challenges to us as individuals, but us as a church. And the longed-for consequence of engaging in mission and embracing such adventures is that we grow community. Whether that be here at Cornerstone in its different parts, or seeing the community of believers growing across the nation and other churches, indeed across the world, especially through our wonderful students, our international students, who will, many of them now are going or preparing to go back to countries miles and miles away, but carrying with them something that they've learnt this last year from this church. So I just wanted to encourage you that we have serious visions and good underlying values. And those are going to go on unchanging. I just wanted us all to be reminded of them as we go through this period of change and uncertainties and discernment together. Those won't change. They are worthy visions and challenging values. And we have each other. And we have lots of exciting things which are happening and will go on happening. Like the cafe, Lantern, all the work through Kate Burkett for the mums and tots across the gatherings and the under fives, the youth groups and all the new initiatives from Mark, the stuff that goes on at Bramley, at the Hub and the Bramley Youth Brass, the junior church across all of the aspects of Cornerstone, the drop-in at Crag, the Natty Knitters at Connect, all the home groups and the Bible clubs, offering nurture and fellowship and supportive friendship. We have a brilliant team who keep our buildings clean and in good order and welcoming, as well as taking care of all the other assets we do have as a church. We have a superb, caring operations manager in Kate Churchill who keeps us all in order with cheerfulness. We have volunteers who underpin a lot of what I've just named, and without whom we couldn't do half the things we're doing. We have leadership teams who care for each gathering and what goes on in each place. Church, we have so much to be thankful for. There is a lot going on and many opportunities to fulfill what we say we have as our vision and values. And there is no reason why any interregnum should interfere with any of this. And it ties in with that passage I read, that we need to apply our Christian living to this church as well as to out there. But, there's always a but, isn't there? There was a seventh value that was debated, and it never made it into the final six, basically, because the list was getting a little bit longer, and we decided the elders couldn't remember seven. But that was everybody serving. Now, most of what I've just talked about relies heavily on volunteers, and some of those teams of volunteers are very, very stretched, and that's nothing new. That's been so for some time, and will maybe be more so going into an interregnum. So I would like to pose three questions and just look at that everybody serving just for before I finish these few thoughts. The first question is, what would you like to see happen at Cornerstone during this period of interregnum, which we have been warned could be longer than anybody wants, any of us want it to be? Secondly, what would you like to see happen in your own life as a result of, perhaps, but during this interregnum? And thirdly, what can you and what can I do personally to make those things come about? Now, I can only speak for Headingley Opportunities this morning, but I'd like to share with you some of the needs which are out there, and as I say, not just from Peter's departure, although there is a draft in some areas of this work that Peter was heavily involved with. The cafe couldn't open the week before last because we couldn't staff it. We need more volunteers, even if you can only offer one day a month, or even if you can only put yourself on an emergency list so that we don't need to close. We also perhaps need, we've only got, as you know, Tracy is not well at the moment and can't safely be in the kitchen. We only have the wonderful Sophie who picks it up, but she can't be here all the time. We need somebody else perhaps to be willing to do the, I think it's a one-off training, to get to the level of qualification that they could be in the kitchen. And it's not cordon bleu. It is not complicated. It is good, solid food that we all love. And easy to prepare. The lantern needs more volunteers, and that is where there's a big draft because of Peter's absence. The junior church always needs more help so that they, perhaps some of those who work in there don't have to be there every Sunday and can come and receive and give in a service. Safeguarding training is the only thing one needs to be a helper there, not even a teacher. The elders, obviously more will be on their stroke our shoulders now, but currently we are six, and we have the wonderful Ruth Hughes as our church secretary, who is beavering away in the background, and we need to make sure she's okay. But the reality is that we're all working pretty much to capacity. And from the end of October, because of times coming to an end, two people will be stepping down. Constitutionally, four is not enough. All that our constitution allows four to do is call a meeting to elect at least two more elders. We have to have six to function as a church meeting making decisions. And I would just like to put it out there. If you feel called that you could serve for a term of 3 years initially, as an elder, the elections are in November. Obviously, you have to be proposed and seconded. But please prayerfully think about that. And also, if you, it's not you, but you know somebody who might be interested, who may just need a bit of encouragement, please mention it to that person. Approach them so they can think about it. Leadership teams, I'm sure, need more members. We want more house groups, but we need somebody to be willing to coordinate, not necessarily to lead, but coordinate a group, and then you can sort out how you're going to function. The list could go on. All these opportunities embrace the values and the vision we've looked at in one way or another this morning, and have the potential to grow community of believers, and to grow each one of us personally as we step out in faith towards new things that we haven't tackled before. Jesus is there waiting for us. He invites us to step towards him, everybody serving. And I say that, and I fully acknowledge that we all serve in different ways outside this building, but we need also people to step up inside the building, as it were, inside our community. And that's why I read that little passage from Peter this morning. I just feel it reminds us as to how we need to live inside as well as outside the church, especially at this time. So I ask again, what do we want to see happen in our church during this interregnum? What do we want to see happen in our own lives during this period of change? And what does it need from each of us personally to help bring these things about? Because as we do that, I think we will discern what is God's will for this church and for each of us personally. And I think it will help us to be willing to go there. Amen. So please take those questions away with you and think about them. Before we share communion, we're going to sing a song which is, Jesus, I Will Walk With You.